Yeah, here we are, episode 29.
29.
Back to business.
Back to business.
That's what my shirt says.
You wear that shirt too much, just FYI.
Well, it's always back to business time for Sean.
Right, but if it's back to business all the time, then aren't you always...
Yeah, I'm always coming fresh off my little break.
Yeah, I always wear this shirt, which says nap time.
Right.
Which is, I think, probably a better thing in the
long run. We should switch shirts.
Right now or just in general? Oh.
Like right now.
All right, hold on.
All right. Oh, wow. I just realized I've never actually seen you naked before.
Well, I didn't have to take off my pants, but I figure since we're doing it, we might as well go all the way.
Yeah, I was about to say that that's probably not necessary. But we can switch pants, too. It's fine.
Check it out while you got a chance.
Oh, boy.
All right.
All right.
Back to business, then.
Nap time.
All right. So, episode 29. This is, we're right on the edge. We're right on the edge of turning 30.
30 is going to be a big number for us.
It is.
Yeah, lots is going to happen.
Technically, it is the biggest number so far. So every episode, you know, it's like the biggest.
30 is special, though. 30, you know, it's historically 30 is, you know, an important number.
Right.
It's the last day of most months.
Correct. Correct. On average.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's how much Coca-Cola cost in 1923.
Factual. That is fact. Mm-hmm. That is true. And it's the number of wives I hope to one day have.
At once or successively?
Can I say both? Is that possible? I want to marry and divorce each one of them in succession and then at the very end marry them all again.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. I agree with you. And our goal, I don't know if anybody knows this, was to do exactly 29 episodes of the podcast and then to sail around the world in a boat for a year.
Right.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't, it seems like a weird number, 29. I feel like we should do 30 and then do the boat trip.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember at the time that was an odd, we were both like, you know, you said pick a number between 1 and 30 and I just went 29 and you were like, oh, maybe how about 30? And I was like, no, 29 is the number.
Right.
And so you were like,
we actually
wrestled
over it, I think.
Yeah.
And I think you won.
I did. I'm a fairly good grappler. I surprise people with that a lot.
I'm quicker than people think, but I don't have the upper body strength to pin anyone.
Yeah, you can't get away from my grip of steel.
No.
I just hold on, and even if you keep hitting me in the face, I still, you know, I just hold on for dear life.
I've also thought it was a little weird that you would named all the moves you were doing as you were doing them, as if to impress me. But the funny thing is, you don't even know what the moves are called, so you were just sort of... You were just sort of stating made-up moves, like...
I think those are the real names.
Bear wrestle grip, I don't think is a real move.
I'm pretty sure it is, isn't it?
Well,
what about elbow smash?
No, see, you did that. You did that, but I don't think that's an actual move.
Oh. I thought that was how they named wrestling things, just based on what was happening. Like when I did the carpal tunnel grab, where I just twisted your wrist until we felt popping.
No, yeah, that happened. I'm not disputing that it was an accurate description.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe you can even make your own wrestling league or something.
Hmm. Maybe I will, actually. Right after we sail around the world, I'll come back and start a wrestling league.
Right. One thing I would remove from your repertoire is the sweaty belly smash, because that was not pleasant for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
You seem very angry today.
Yeah.
You kind of been huffing and a lot, sort of, not like paint, but like, you just been sort of like, if that's huffing. Is that huffing?
I did also huff paint earlier. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I noticed the paint thinner all over your hands.
I gotta do what I gotta do. You know, there's only so much I can put up with before I have to huff. Both drug-wise and just in general. And so, yeah, I mean, I huffed. Like huffed, and then I was huffing breath-wise, which I guess they both involve breath. So we'll have to come up with a new term for real huffing so that huffing can mean drug huffing.
Right.
You know, hoofing.
Gandhi was a huffer.
Drugs or angry? And now I'm confused.
Paint.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That does make sense. He was always spinning. He was always weaving. What do they call that
Baskets?
Thing? A spindle. A little spindle thing. Wasn't he always...
Sewing?
Yeah, I was doing something with the sewing.
Making rugs?
He was a rug maker. Yeah, Gandhi was a rug maker.
A different Gandhi than I was thinking of?
No, Jim Gandhi. Who are we talking about here?
All right, so I'm walking down the street away from my apartment, as I'll do. And And so it's about 30 degrees out.
I think you're being generous. I think it's maybe 20 degrees out. It's freezing.
Oh, well, right now it is. Yeah. Well, at the time, it was about 30 degrees out. And I see this guy leave his apartment with no shirt on.
Okay.
And he went out. He locked the door, turned around, took three steps, paused, and just didn't do anything. He had no shirt on, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned around, walked back to the door, opened it, went back in. Now, my theory is that he accidentally left the house without his shirt on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what happened.
I think he just didn't realize.
Wouldn't it have been much worse if he'd also forgotten his keys?
Yeah.
Then he would just die. You'd just watch him die slowly, hypothermia.
Just shivering. I come back, and he's just like, has frostbite on his face.
Yeah,
and,
his beard full of frost.
Just shivering, and then one day I find him dead.
How do you forget your shirt?
That's sort of why I bring this up, because I would never in a million years forget to take my shirt or put my shirt on before I leave the house.
Right.
It will never happen. I'll forget my keys. I'll forget anything else I own. Right. I will never forget my shirt.
Well, the other weird thing is, and maybe I'm insane here, but I'm aware of when I'm not wearing a shirt.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's not like a... I'm not the kind of person where when I'm nude, it feels just as natural as when I'm fully dressed. It's like I'm more used to being dressed. I mean, I spend far more parts of the day being dressed than I do not being dressed. So if I get out of the shower and I'm doing something, I'm like, you know, I answer the phone or whatever, I don't put a shirt on. It's not like my brain goes, oh, no, we're cool. Yeah. And then later, you know, I walk in, look in the mirror to like, you know, brush my teeth or something. And I just totally ignore the fact that I'm shirtless. And then I walk outside. I don't understand.
Right. Yeah. It's like, if I was a robot, me being naked, there's like a little LED in the corner and labeled nude. It's just blinking.
Yeah.
And so I can't ever get past the fact that there's nudity involved.
It's like the seatbelt sign in your car. Right. You know, it's just constantly beeping. And the other thing is, realistically, it should work identically to the seatbelt sign. So when you first get out of the shower, your body knows you're naked. So it's like dry off, naked, dry off, naked. But then if you wait long enough without putting a shirt on, the indicator goes away. But after a certain amount of mileage traveled, it comes back on.
Right.
You know, like just like the seatbelt thing. It's like nudity. Okay, yeah, exactly.
It should be one of your robots.
Exactly.
You should invent a robot that's a nudity detector.
Yeah, it would just constantly poke. You'd stick it to your nipple, and it would just constantly poke at your chest. And if it senses cloth, then it's fine. But if it pierces skin and senses blood, then it will warn you. I think there's a business there.
Yeah, you should make that.
So, have you heard of this site, crazyblinddate.com?
Only because you told me about it.
Right. So, Mike Stickle told me about this when I was traveling into Whistler. We were driving up in the car, and we were talking about dating strategies. Some people know, I'm newly single. So
now, refresh my memory. This is where they match you up with someone from a mental house?
Yes, a crazy person. Okay. It's literally insane people blind dating. And then you just go there and try not to get stabbed.
Right.
Which is a pretty cool concept. Right. Yeah. So Crazy Blind Date is, it's actually really kind of an interesting thing. Basically you sign up, you answer, it's totally free. There's no ads on the site or anything. So you sign up, it's really well designed as well. You answer a bunch of questions like what kind of people you're looking for, very generic terms,
like,
you know,
women.
Yes, exactly. Basically it's just like women, tall, short, you know, like you can put in ranges, you know, they have like a body type selector and you thin, average. And one of them is very heavy. Which I enjoyed. And then...
Yeah, there's no... It's funny with the dating sites. There's really no good way to put that.
Yeah, just gigantor, basically. So it's the biggest, fattest woman you can think of. But anyway, so... And then you fill out these things. You pick a couple of days, and you pick a couple of locations. Now, granted, this is only right now in New York City and Washington, D.C., and I think Chicago or something.
Okay.
But... And you then... Basically, what happens is they use this math to like match you up to other people looking for a date, and then they send you the answers to like these four questions that you have to answer, which is very simple questions.
They send you the answers.
They send you what this person says a match. So they send you, the questions are like, you know, what are you looking for in a person, blah, blah, blah. And then they send you a pixelated version of their picture. So the face is totally blurred out through pixels, right?
Right.
And so it's like a blind date. So you get to know just a little bit, and then you go somewhere and you meet this person. And nice. The only rule is you have to stay at least 20 minutes. Otherwise, it's considered rude. So you go there. If things don't work out, you can leave after 20 minutes, but you're supposed to give it at least 20 minutes.
20, wow. 20 minutes, that's actually, that's okay.
It's like half a drink you can get, you know. And so you'll pretty much know within 20 minutes whether or not you want to keep talking to this person. And then,
well, what happens if you don't stay 20 minutes? Is there some sort of like, you lose like, you know,
no, I think basically you could probably, I think probably what would happen is the person who went would probably complain.
They would cry.
They'd cry and they'd complain to Crazy Blind Date, and then Crazy Blind Date would be like, why didn't you stay? And then you'd be like, well, I said thin and she was very heavy and I don't know. Anyway. So I'm doing it. Trying it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it as a social experiment.
Nice.
I'm going to document the process because I find it fascinating. The idea what I was really hoping is I could write software that would reverse pixelate the faces so that I would be the only one.
I don't think that's possible.
God, wouldn't that be great? I would be turning down dates left and right, and they'd be like, "Why is this guy turning down all these dates?" And then I pick the right one. Oh, that's the winner.
Nice.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna do it. Just because it's such a weird idea.
Here's my advice. I would take the. I think you should go for what you think is the ugliest pixelated face, because I think it's gonna be the opposite in play.
Oh, interesting.
I think that what seems pretty in pixelation is actually ugly. And the opposite holds true as well.
Le français version of ugly.
Yes, ugly.
That's interesting. I was trying to think of strategies for looking at pixelated pictures. I was trying to blur my eyes. That doesn't do anything. They're just even blurry.
Well, when you talk to women, you're always squinting. So maybe that's a good thing. What you should do is just, you know, when you meet her, bring like a shower curtain or something you can look through. And just be like, I only ever want to see you it like this.
Yeah, I like that idea. Maybe I could just constantly photograph her and blur them and only look at the laptop screen while she's talking.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about going with those glasses blind people wear, the like solid black frame, solid black glass, so that I just don't get to see her. Because then, you know, what if her personality is really great, but her face is not as pixely as I would like?
Yeah, you should just be blind. I think that's where you're...
Oh, interesting.
You should just go blind.
So instead of Crazy Blind Date, it would just be blindblinddate.com?
Right.
Which sort of takes out the nervousness of the blind dating part, right? Because you don't care what they look like, really.
Then you got to do the face feel thing, which is, I think, a little more awkward for a blind date if you actually have to, like, get someone grope their face. I feel like that's a level of relationship you have to get.
So do you think when blind people are looking for dates, they're actually looking for better complexion than attractive features?
They're probably more personality focused. You know, you just don't want someone... You know, you want someone who you can talk to.
Right, but I'm saying, like, because they've got to feel the face. So you don't want, like, an acne-prone or a greasy face. You want a very nice complexion. Like, you want very clean hair, I think, if you're a blind person.
Right.
I mean, feel-wise,
I think it's all about that. Yeah.
Right. And a deaf person, I guess, would be looking for the most attractive person they could find because they're never going to hear them. So,
right, because there's no possible way for deaf people to communicate with each other.
Exactly, yes. You know? Yeah, so...
Clearly, that's something that we don't know how to do.
Yeah, they've not figured that one out at all. They should really get on that, because it's just... That's crazy.
So, this is a question for you.
All right.
So, you're John Connor.
Fair enough.
Of the Terminator franchise.
Okay.
All right. Mm. And you're in the new series, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. That's your life.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's not a show. You are that guy. You're John Connor.
Right. Okay.
Future leader of mankind. And they send a robot back into the past to protect you.
Right.
And she's pretty cute.
Right.
How long? And then we can judge this.
6 minutes.
In hours. Minutes. Yeah. Minutes. 6 minutes is your answer for how long it would take before you asked, you know, if she had work parts.
6 minutes. And that's assuming the first 5 minutes were the time where people were shooting guns at me and I was getting dragged around by her.
Right.
But then the 6th minute is the first opportunity to ask.
Like, hey, by the way,
do you have a robot vagina? Does it work like a regular vagina?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that would have come up. It wouldn't have taken me 3 episodes.
No, definitely.
To be broaching this topic.
Yeah.
It would have taken, it's so like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
It would, around 6 minutes. I'm a little more discreet than you are. I would have waited at least until that night.
Right.
So a few hours.
Yeah. Well, that's also, you know.
Because there's no shame in there. Because listen, I order you to not, you know, tell anyone this.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, she's not going to answer. She's not going to get embarrassed, you know. So you're going to be like, hey, you got a robot vagina? And she'd be like, yay or nay, you know. She's not going to be like, oh.
And I guess that's sort of crude because, you know, would you really want to have sex with a robot? But if the robot looked like her.
Right.
And couldn't tell the difference between her and a human.
Right.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my only fear with this is, and you know, they never really talked about this in the Terminator series, is they got the skin over the exoskeleton, right?
Right.
But exoskeleton is like hard metal, and I guess our bones are pretty hard, but you got to think, like, if you got punched by her, it would hurt a lot more than getting punched by a bone.
Right.
A hand,
she has more strength,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there would be that whole fear thing. It's sort of be like having sex with Superman, you know? You got to be afraid that at any moment she's going to break your spine.
Right.
You know, does she have like a sex mode where she flips a switch?
Well, I mean, first of all, I seriously doubt they spent great lengths in the future while fighting a war to create a sex mode for the Terminator robot.
They should have.
They shouldn't have. They should have, clearly, but I just don't think they did. But, you know, I think that you'd be lucky if, you know, it all sort of worked.
Yeah, do you think that it's, I mean, when you watch Terminator 2 as well, whenever they show the future and they show these horrible battle scenes, they're all men.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's why they started designing those female Terminators? Do you think that the just Terminator's idea was, yeah, like, get them in there and be like, oh, you need women, you know, and then the Terminators would come in and be like, hey, check out my robo-vagina, and then right. Men would be like, I don't care, screw this war. You know, like, what's the point of human life if all we're doing is running around in all these human bones everywhere? I mean, seriously, just sweep up a little. Like, I've never understood that. What is the deal with all the human bones everywhere? I mean, come on, smash them down, do something. How depressing.
I know.
I mean, it really doesn't add a lot of, I mean, what are they fighting for? So that they can inherit this place that's already...
Maybe they're fighting for a chance to get with some Terminator or robo-vagina.
I think that may be what it is, but yeah.
Maybe all the women are dead. In that case, you know, let's just go for it.
Right, and if all the women are dead anyway, there's no hope. You might as well give up. Mm-hmm. You know, you might as well sleep with as many robots as you can, because there's no future. There's no women. How can you have babies? Right. You know, unless... Now, that's the further question, and that was, I think, the question I asked you initially was, do you think she can get pregnant with some sort of robot-human hybrid? Because they got their, you know, cybernetic blah, blah, blah.
I think you've been watching too much Battlestar Galactica.
I know.
Horses aren't more popular as a form of transportation.
I'll agree with that.
You know, why not? Why? There's no fuel.
They used to be.
You don't have to buy gas.
Right. You have to feed them.
You don't have to get insurance.
Is that true?
You get a few bales of hay or whatever the hell they eat. You just feed them that. It's certainly a lot cheaper than gasoline.
Yeah.
And then, no insurance, no horse insurance. You just have a horse.
I guess so. I think that probably we can blame this on the increased cost of the stable industry. You know, it's like those bastards. They just put it all out of possibility.
No, I think you can just throw that, you know, just tie your horse to a pole.
Interesting. You know? Like in the old days where they just have poles in front of every
building. I have a pole in front of my house. Don't you have a pole in front of your house?
No, they took out the pole when they put in a spot for cars.
But I would just, I'm going to keep it near my pole and then I'll just keep some hay nearby. No, right. And I don't think anyone's going to take it. I mean, they might mess with it a bit.
Well, you have to also know how to ride a horse. You know, it's like, you know, if you get on it,
you have to know how to ride a car, though.
Exactly. You have to know how to ride a car. Yeah. You know, I agree with you. No, what I'm saying is that with a car, most people have learned how to use a car, learned how to ride a car, as you say. You just break it open. You know, there's like two pedals and you just steer it. You know, like we've been doing the whole steering / pedals thing since we were kids playing in arcades. With a horse, though, it's a wild animal. You know, you can't. And you know, if you don't have a saddle on it, too, that'd make it even harder for people, because then they, like, wouldn't be able to get... They'd be holding its neck.
I mean, saddles are fine. I mean, I'm fine.
No, I'm saying security. You shouldn't include a saddle.
Oh, so people won't steal the saddle?
Well, no, so they can't ride it as easily.
I'll just bring the saddle out.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'll buy a tame horse. I'm not going to buy some wild horse.
What's the point of having a horse if it can't be wild? I mean, you want to have those moments where it lurch up in the air and squeal while you swing a ball and chain and yell at villagers?
Well, maybe this is why you're not good at riding horses, because that's actually what you don't want to happen. You want to just have a nice smooth ride, you know, a little like... A little clopping along, and you just sort of like, you're just up there eating a sandwich, you know, going to work.
I always thought of horses. Either you ride horses through a bunch of screaming villagers while hitting them in the head with maces, while your horse kind of like does that thing where the back feet kick up all out of control and you're constantly holding on, screaming, help, help, help. I thought that was the whole deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what happened the last time you rode a horse.
Right.
But I think that in general, you're trying to make the horse basically be calm, not terrified for its life. And I don't know where you're going with all these villagers are, but you probably should stop hitting them in the head with maces.
Well,
maybe the fact that you always have a mace is why the horse is so scared.
Well, I don't hit the horse with the mace.
Yeah, like, I think it sees the mace though, and it gets angry.
Is that why they put the blinders on them to hide the mace from them?
Yes.
So the horses don't see the mace.
Because so now you're. See, you read the Wikipedia page. You know what's up. So, did you hear the big news?
About eggs?
No.
Oh, go on.
Close, though.
Okay.
Lunar eclipse tonight.
Oh, right. That's sort of about eggs.
Yeah, I mean, the moon is like a big egg.
Exactly.
Chickens
give birth to more eggs on lunar eclipses, I think, actually, as well. So.
I trust you.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the first or the last one until some future date. You know,
3058.
I think it's actually 2010, but
3094.
We'll just go. Okay, those are a lot of numbers.
Yeah, they are actually. So I hope I win tonight.
Good. So that's. I think it must mean something. I always assume that whenever there's a lunar eclipse, like crazy things are supposed to happen.
I think that's a full moon. That's when werewolves come out and children get eaten. Lunar eclipse, I think, is just... Oh, well, I do remember the last time there was a lunar eclipse, which I think was 1953. And there were a string of crazy child murders that night.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I guess you're right.
I'm
that
a little
is
nervous.
True.
I kind of want to get home before the eclipse happens.
Yeah. What I've never quite understood is why they call it a lunar eclipse. Rather than a solar eclipse.
Because the lunar, in this case the moon, is being eclipsed.
So it's a moon eclipse then is what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. So I don't understand why they don't call it a moon eclipse.
Because the lunar is really more moon-like than you'd imagine.
How is calling it a sun eclipse more moon-like?
Well, all right. So Luna was the Greek god of moons.
Fire, I think, is what.
No. Why that wouldn't make any sense then?
But Luna means fire.
I didn't think it. I thought it was more of an icy feeling.
Hmm.
But maybe, or what can I mean? I think moons are there and somewhere.
What?
Wrap it up in wax paper and take it home. That's a sandwich.
It is. Do you get your sandwiches in wax paper usually?
Yeah, it's folded up, wax paper, bring it home, open it up, eat it. Got an episode.
I have a problem with wax paper. It doesn't fold well. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't crease. It's always it's knobby.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the other options are you know, tin foil.
Right. I just put my sandwiches directly into a brown bag. Does that... not work for you?
It's a little bit of a loose solution for me.
Yeah.
I like when I open up my bag later for the sandwich to still be together.
We have different ideas of what a sandwich means.
Yeah, well, it's true. You tend to like loose bags of ingredients.
Well, as long as it's all in the same place, technically I find that to be a sandwich.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, you're what's funny about you is that you're always right on some level.
Yes.
Like when you brought a cake over to my place and it was just a bowl full of an egg.
Yes.
Some flour.
Correct.
Chocolate.
Right.
And various other ingredients.
It was chocolate cake.
Loose.
Right.
But not cooked. And not mixed even. The egg was just a layer on top.
Right.
And
that's
no one ate it though. Did you notice?
I had a bite. All right. So Maniacal Rage Podcast. Still sponsored. By Segment Publishing, segpub.net.
The wonderful
crazy hosting
people
and
at SegPub.
And Jeremy at SegPub, he and his wife just had a daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
So hopefully one day she'll also be giving us money.
Right.
That's what I imagine. So congratulations to them, and thanks to them for hosting the show. And if you're not, and I don't know how people couldn't be, but if you're not watching Maniacal Rage TV, you're an imbecile.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
So tune into that. You can obviously find that also on the website, maniacalragepodcast.com. You can also find it on YouTube and Vimeo and all these sites these stupid kids are checking
people
out
people just playing on the streets these days.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I walked into a movie theater the other day to see Michael Clayton, and the podcast was playing.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, geez, now I gotta go home. I've already seen this. So thanks for listening. And episode 30 next, and I think that we're gonna have to probably do something involving a sledgehammer because that's such a big event.
It'll be the Gallagher episode.
Awesome. but Luna means fire.
Yeah, I didn't think it. I thought it was more of an icy feeling.
Hmm.
But maybe, or what can, I mean, I think moons are there and somewhere.
What?
just cut it after what?
Oh, I think I will.
Yeah.
moons are there or something.
What?
That was very genuine, my what. Literally, no idea what you were talking about.
I don't know what's happening in the world.
Awesome.